This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you on a Tuesday. We will continue to, of course, monitor what's going on with our Bravos and keep you updated. Big series starting up in Washington. It's a four-game set. And throughout the course of the day, it's a doubleheader today. So we'll let you know what's going on there. We got plenty of Falcons conversation to get to, guys. An update on the Ohio State situation. But, Mike, man, there is a lot getting ready to happen. Right now, it just kind of seems like things are just kind of in a waiting mode, right? A lot of stuff coming.
Yeah. State of flux, certainly with Ohio State. Although I you know, I still think, and a lot of people say he's dead man walking, I still think there's some scenarios where he keeps his gig. And then it was funny because I was reading some of the stuff online this morning, and Michigan fans saying, if not now, when? You know, because of all this stuff. And can Harbaugh get him over the hump? Because obviously he hasn't been able to beat the Buckeyes. But yeah, man. And I heard John, we were having fun with John. I mean, look, you could make the argument for Miami and stuff, but I don't trust their quarterback. Do you?
No.
And I don't think some Hurricane fans would feel that way.
Do we trust that Mark Richt won't take him out in a critical moment?
That's just it. You got them, and I know that John talked about this earlier. You know, every team's got their – everybody has their lot in life. And every team has got what they know. Like, for instance, Florida State, offensive line. Will it be good enough, right? Texas, your secondary.
Yeah.
Well, your entire defense. But, I mean, everybody's got their cross to bear with their team. But, yeah, I'm not so sure that Mark Richt won't do something really dumb in a big moment. That has always been his M.O.
Yeah, I will say, you know, the reason why, and listen, John, we're talking about college football, but the reason why he likes the U, two reasons. Obviously, he loves the U, but he also thinks that their schedule is very maneuverable. This is something that comes into play every year.
Well, you got to beat LSU first. I know LSU's got to prove that they can get it done, too, to start the season.
I just think Miami's better right now to start the season. LSU may be better at the end of the year, but I think to start the season, I would pick the U if I was betting this game, and I'm not. But with that said, the schedule's maneuverable to expect that Miami should be playing Clemson in the ACC championship.
I mean, look, there's some arguments out there that as good as the players are that just went to the NFL for Georgia, that this new class of guys could be even better. Because if you are Alabama, that's what you – or you aspire to be Alabama, that's what you're going to be doing year after year. But those guys got to first prove they can do it and do it in an SEC game in week two. And then and that's on a road trip, too, and then another road trip coming up with Mizzou a week later.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We invite you to follow us on social media. Follow the radio station, 929 The Game. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Now, I got to ask, because there's some craziness going on here, and I know he loves overtime. Why am I looking at Mark Owens behind the glass? I have to bring him into this.
Yeah.
The memories.
But it was happening. Well,
what's going on, man? How are you?
And I think Craig's finishing a sandwich, or maybe he's watching the extended version of the Avengers. I don't know what the hell
he's
doing.
Okay, all right. Well, it's good to see you.
Cheers, buddy.
Yeah.
Pinky, here we come.
And, yeah, so Mark is hanging out in the studio there, and I'm going, wait a minute, that's a white guy, not Craig. I don't know what's going on. So,
hey,
anyways.
Baby, I'm Craig.
So Bo is producing today. Mike and I here. Obviously, you can always text us at 404-741-0929. I got to give you a big shout-out before we get into this conversation we're going to talk about with the Falcons and Matt Ryan, but yesterday, and we do this periodically, you know, again, we find ourselves finding shows on television. And Mike told me, he goes, dude, it's a show called ATL Homicide on TV1. I've been checking out. You nearly need to check it out. And I'm like, okay. So I went home last night, really was like, flipping through. I go on demand, Mike, and I find this on TV1. Mm-hmm. This show is killer, man. These former detectives, David Quinn and Vince Velasquez, these guys are great.
Yeah, it reminds me of my old man because I love the sense of humor that Homicide Detectives had. Obviously, it's a gallows sense of humor, but the show is great. And if you are an Atlanta resident and you're listening to us, so many of you are, it is really cool to see Atlanta, you know, because you know exactly where they are. You can see all the shots, you know, it's just a very well-done show. It's very quickly edited. And they have some actor recreations of some of the scenes and how things went down. But anyways, two homicide detectives going over their biggest cases here in Atlanta. And it's really a lot of fun. I talked to Bo Squidbilly, producer, and I said, we can try to get these guys in studio.
Got to get them on.
Because they're retired homicide detectives, and they do a great job on the show.
If you guys know David or Vince, hopefully you didn't break any laws. Let them know, man. Dukes and Bell would love to get them on. They really seem to be really cool, but they've solved some of the most incredible murder cases here in our city.
Right.
And so that's the thing. It's like these guys have some clout. And I know there are folks that listen to us on the force. We know we got bike cops and guys on the force who listen to us from the Atlanta Police Department. And we appreciate all the men and women. But that's a really cool show from the standpoint of it's here. It's our home. And they film it here.
And it just debuted last month, July 9th, the first episode. So, again, my wife loves all those procedural cop dramas. And, you know, you kind of seen
it all.
She's
trying to kill you.
Yeah, like if I don't show up for work, believe me, she did it and she knows how to do it. Between every Lifetime movie, you know, just enough cyanide in the tea and eventually work the level up. Believe me, she knows how to take me out. But the show is definitely worth watching, called ATL Homicide. So there's your tip for the day from Dukes and Bell.
All right, man. Falcons obviously continue to work towards their first preseason game. We talked a lot yesterday as that news came down with Ricardo Allen, 3 years, $19.5 million. And that is good news. But, you know, really, it's exciting just to see that everything is moving in the right direction for our Falcons. We've been very fortunate, guys. There are teams around the league that already have major injuries in camp. We've been very lucky. Haven't had any of that stuff happen. And now, Mike, you have to maneuver the preseason for Dan Quinn, as we talked about, to get enough rhythm between, you know, practice, some real game situations, and then also make sure that all your guys are healthy heading into the season. Really, that's the goal for Dan Quinn. And I know guys have said, you know, I don't want to see Julio play. Okay, just a little bit. I mean, don't you want to see him just play?
Well, I mean, after we bellyache all off season, we got to get Julio out there at some point. Because remember last year, I think he only had like, what, 4 snaps?
In the preseason?
Yeah. We want to see a rhythm develop, but obviously for the older guys, it's that balancing act you just pointed out. You don't want to put extra wear and tear on a guy like Alex Mack, for instance, in those knees, you know, or anybody on that O-line for that matter. But you also got to develop at the same time the continuity with Fusco wherever he plugs in.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's Dan Quinn's goal as he, you know, lays out how they're going to maneuver these preseason games. We know we all hate preseason. I mean, we love football, but we all hate preseason. But there is a method to the madness with this.
Right.
Because I'll tell you something. I think the Jaguars are going to be back in the playoffs, guys. And our third preseason game is against the Jaguars. And if you're telling me that our starters are going to play a majority of that game, you know, up until the third quarter or so, that is a really good test because the Jags are good. Unlike many years in the past where our third preseason game, you know, it's kind of been like, they're not any good. The Jags are coming off of a deep playoff run where a lot of people thought they could have got to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, don't forget, we played Miami and Orlando 1 year because Hard Rock wasn't ready, and that kind of exposed our offensive line. We actually played Miami a couple times and kind of showed us what we were lacking as far as offensive line play in preseason. So I hear what you're saying. Jaguars would be a good test, and that's one I think, if anything, that's the one that you would focus on. And I get you, brother. I just wish – I know the NFL owners, they have a business model, which for them, and it sounds ridiculous, but, yeah, you've got those 10 home games. Just charge me a quarter of the price for those first two because those things are a waste of everyone's time.
They really are. You guys can get involved, as always, guys, 404-741-0929. Now, we're going to talk a lot about the Falcons. There's a great piece in The Athletic by Jeff Schultz, who now writes for The Athletic, longtime AJC columnist. But he got a chance to talk to Matt Ryan. And not just your typical, you know, house camp, blah, blah, blah. He went back and they actually talked, and this is the first time I think Matt has spoken publicly about his trials with the birth of his twins and what him and Sarah, his wife, went through. And, Mike, this takes you back to the week of the Eagles playoff game. And Matt talks about, and we'll get more into this as we go through the show, but I think it points out a variety of things when you talk about where Matt is in his 11th year, going into his 11th year with this team, and more importantly, where he is in his career. But he talks about, you know, the challenges of dealing with trying to prep for the Eagles and also being concerned with what was going on with his wife, which is human nature, and not knowing the outcome of what was going to happen in the birth of his kids. So that all played out. But it's the first time he's spoken about it, Mike. And I thought it was really interesting to hear Matt say, you know, that he was spending the night basically that week at Northside with his wife, Sarah, as he was going through that and trying to get ready for arguably the biggest game of the season, which we come up short in.
And that's the thing, you know, we talked about it when it went down with, you know, missing a playoff, missing a practice, being sent home early or getting an excuse to leave practice. And we fearing the worst, knowing that, you know, there could be complications with the pregnancy, not knowing because it was kind of radio silence. And it wasn't until later we found out, obviously, all the stuff they went through and the kids turned out A-okay. But, yeah, I mean, you could imagine anybody trying to go through that.
It's tough. And listen, for all the criticism, fair or unfair, because he's the quarterback, right? And when Matt's been bad, and there have been a couple of years there where he was, not all his fault, the offensive line sucked, we get it. But we've been critical of Matt as we've been of other players on this team. But when he was great and has been for many years, including the MVP season, there was nothing to say but praise. I'm hoping that he gets back to that form. But I also think, and this gets us to, you know, where we're going today with this Matt Ryan deal is, Mike, does he need to be more demanding? He's in his 11th year. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been an MVP. Matt owns all of the passing records for the Atlanta Falcons. And right now, if he quits tomorrow, which he's not, he is the best quarterback in franchise history. So now we're at a point where, hey, twins are okay. Family thing is all right. You got your new deal. Does he need to be more demanding?
Well, I mean, we talked about, you know, Sarkisian. We asked him yesterday, or was it, earlier in the week, we asked him on Friday about, you know, what Knapp brings to the table and how does Knapp help in that meeting room? I mean, everybody wants to just, and this is more from the fans than from Matt, but everybody just kind of says, well, you know, Matt's better that second year with the OC. Well, Matt says he's got a better vibe with Steve Sarkisian. There's a better, you know, I guess, sense of give and take on what he wants to do. So let's get it, man. Look. The only thing that could derail this offense would be some kind of big injury on the offensive line. Because you got, even heaven forbid there was an injury to the wide receiver core, you've got a lot of depth. So I'm excited about where this is going. You're right, though. I mean, I don't know if Matt has to light his face on fire before practice or sit there and, you know, and scream and yell in the locker room. And maybe he does. We don't know. But, I mean, like, you're the lead. He's the leader of the team, and we get that. And, look, the guys responded. They were all there for his passing camp.
They were. I just look at this, and, you know, for me, I'm not going to say it's now or never. But it's now or never. I mean, the team is as talented as it's been since Matt has been here.
Well, there's a window. That's why, you know, last week when I worked myself into a state talking about the games here, we didn't score two touchdowns last season. You know, because everyone wants to sit here and be philosophical. You know, well, you know, that's a loser mentality. Well, the ball bounces funny. Oh, screw you. You take your ball and go home. Okay, we want to win championships.
Well, the ball
in this
does
town.
Bounce funny.
I don't want to hear that crap. That's Braves John Schuerholz mentality. Well, you know, you face a couple of hot pitchers in a best of five. Well, where are your hot? You got every Cy Young Award winner that's ever been born. So, I mean, I don't want to hear that stuff. And I think sometimes Atlanta fans get conditioned to kind of shrug. And here, I'll do that face you hate. Well, gee willikers. Well, we'll get them next year. No.
Why do you do your arms like that is the question.
I don't expect anything. Same guy who said, can't fire Richt. We can't do any better than this. I mean, there's always a better mousetrap. There's always somebody who's got a better plan. So, I mean, you've got to be on your A game. Well, we have done our work, and we've done everything in the offseason to get position. Julio's deal got done, thank goodness. The Rams got better. Eagles have improved what they're doing. You know, there's other teams in the NFC that we're not even talking about now that have come up and surprised somebody.
Find out what Matt says about this team and the feeling he has. It's coming up on Dukes and Bell, but right now your chance to win $1,000 playing our National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
Let me tell you something, Cowboy. All right? I'm going to tell you one time, Cowboy. Cowboy! C-O-W-B-O-Y. Cowboy is the code word.
I'd like a cowboy ribeye, Big Daddy. Cowboy. Ooh, goes delicious. To 72881. That's Cowboy. You text to 72881. We had another winner the other day. We give like $4,000 on this program right here. Let's make it number 5. Cowboy, text it to 72881.
Hey, coming up a little bit later on in the program, we're going to hear from the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator of the Dawgs. Stay tuned for that. But when we come back, we'll hit some headlines. And what does Matt feel about this team? It's next on Dukes and Bell.
Well, all right.
Oh, sorry. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Tuesday. It's interesting to see some of the guys commenting and ladies talking about Matt Ryan and whether you think or he needs to be more demanding. It kind of stems from, you know, him sharing some of his world and where he's at as a player. Matt says this in regards to this team. There is a feel in energy. Good teams I've been on have felt this way. That's what Matt says in regards to where he's at and where this team is at right now. And I've said this, you know, there are times where you ask players, hey, what do you think about the squad? And guys will be like, hey. And sometimes guys know when they're not going to be on a good team. Right. But you have to play the role like, oh, no, we've got a chance. You've got no shot. And then there are times where guys are like, man, we're really good. And, like, I've seen what this looks like in the past. And I think that's kind of where the Falcons are. It's not to say they weren't good last year, Mike. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody just thought they were going to collapse after the Super Bowl thing, and they didn't go away. They got back to the playoffs.
Right. You know, you and I were here. Give us credit. We did say this, you know, after that. We were on there go, hey, look, we have a team that could go right back to the Super Bowl. And, again, if the offense doesn't go backwards, if we had perhaps had an offensive coordinator with a little more experience, a little better offensive line play. I mean, a lot of variables on the offense. But, I mean, the offense just went backwards last year. That's why, you know, this year everything looks great. You know, just a small sample size, what we've been able to see at practice, and you Falcon fans have been there, you've seen it. I mean, there's definitely a hop and a skip in everybody's step, you know, but now we got to go out there and do the work. Just this offense, just one more touchdown, baby. Give me one more touchdown a game, and we got this thing.
Yeah, we scored, guys, 540 points in 2016. That was like a record, duh. We scored a total of 353 points last year.
Yeah, Matt Bryant, and we talked about this yesterday, accounted for over a third of your points.
So, I mean, listen, we're just pointing out the numbers and how that played out and why we continue to talk about the offense. But, Mike, I find it interesting that Matt Ryan, our quarterback, says there's a feel, there's an energy on good teams he's been on before. That's the way he's feeling right now. I'm glad. I hope that translates to a lot of wins for the Falcons. First preseason game is Friday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 5:30. Kickoff is at 7:30, guys. Hey, coming up, you'll hear from Dave Archer next hour. We'll also tell you what else is going on around in our NFL Blitz segment. You heard Conti talk about Malcolm Mitchell with the Pats being waived. We had Malcolm on the show a while back and obviously was injured, missed the Super Bowl and all that stuff, but things just didn't work out. We wish him the best of luck, but that's one story that we're following because of the dogs, obviously. But, you know, a lot of people thought he might be the next big thing for Tom Brady.
Right, and he's a great dude, too, but he will not be a part of it. And there's always a chance he'll get back on the Patriots, but now he'll go shop around the resume and see if he can land in somebody else's camp this summer.
All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Hit us up, 404-741-0929. Hey, Craig, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Falcons wrapping up practice today. More work in the red zone. Duh. More scoring situations with Matt Ryan hitting rookie Calvin Ridley in the corner of the end zone to end practice. Mike, that's how we like to end practice. And we were up there last week, and there were a couple of times where they didn't finish practice that way, and then there were a couple of days where they did, where Sanu had a touchdown. It's good to finish on a high note. So, cool. Today.
Well, as the man says, iron sharpens iron. Because, you know, we did have a split scrimmage earlier in camp, and then we did see the first team versus the first team. And, again, the defense, as you guys know, always has the edge. And as you brought up, Arch will give us his take. Some interesting angles on the defense as well.
All right, Tack McKinley, you know, he had surgery on both shoulders. He had a bruised right shoulder and has been ruled out for Friday, but was limited in practice on Monday. So we've been talking a lot about that. Obviously, the other big news of the Falcons, Ricardo Allen getting his deal. Here's what Rico had to say.
It's been a long journey, man. It's been a real long journey. So to finally make it, man, to make it from, you know, where I come from and to make it from the bottom, man, just, you know, grinding every day I can, it was cool to know, like, at the end that I had, you know, TD and I had, you know, DQ and I had, you know, a lot of my coaches backing for me to be able to get this deal done.
All right, let's hear from Dan Quinn, his reaction to the Ricardo Allen extension.
He represents team and brotherhood to the highest level. And so yesterday, we were in our team meeting, and I, you know, asked the team if you've been mentored or supported, encouraged by Ricardo Allen, please stand up. And an entire room stands up. So you see the impact that a guy like he has on a team, not just from the defensive side, but from the offensive side too.
I mean, we stood up. We weren't even in the room. Now we like Rico, man. Ricardo's a good dude.
He is.
And that's the thing, man. We've said there's no knuckleheads on this team. You know, it's a good bunch of guys. And the only guy who would qualify as a knucklehead because he's a big kid is Tack, and he's a killer. So we want to see him out there ripping the quarterback's heads off. But, yeah, man, Ricardo is a real general out there, and you hear that from Dan Quinn.
Very, very cool to see a good guy who's worked his tail off get rewarded. Congrats again to Rico. Hey, in other news, guys, Braves playing this afternoon. We'll keep you updated. It's a doubleheader, day night, because remember, weather
situation up there in Washington a few weeks back. So this is a four-game set with the Nationals.
How you like your eggs, girl? Freed or fertilized?
Well, hopefully fertilized, not freed. Because freed needs to pitch better.
Yeah, freed getting fried right now. You better step that up. But we shall see. I mean, we have a chance. The Braves, have a chance to maybe put a fork in to the Nationals. But we'll see about that. Looks like I think Kobe Allard now on the bump.
By the way, Mike, Sporty Spice, that's what she goes by, hit us up and says, here's one of the detectives from the ATL Homicide Show that you want on the show.
Nice.
So she sends us, I think it's Quinn's.
Cool.
Information. So we're going to hit him up.
Yeah, Detective Quinn of Velasquez. I mean, because, first off, we love the dynamic of the Crockett and Tubbs, the Riggs and Murtaugh. On our show, Dukes and Bell. So there's a dynamic at play on their show, which we kind of get a kick out of. But it's TV1. It's on DirecTV. It's in the 300s. Like you said, man, we were just talking about this. There's like 8,000 things to watch on TV. But this show does move quick. It's really well done. It's based right here in the A.
All right, man. Headlines continue. Let's talk about what's going on with the Dogs. Now, more coming up at 4 o'clock as we go on the sidelines with the Dogs. But we don't get a chance to talk to Jim Chaney or Mel Tucker, for the most part, at all during the season, right? That's the offensive and defensive coordinator
right at
Georgia. So I just want you to hear Chaney talking about, Justin Fields and going through the playbook with him, because a lot of people said, how are you going to adjust to Fields and having Fromm, and what are you going to do? Here's Chaney.
Designing a playbook directly because he can run, I think it would be distorting from who we want to be as a football team. But it is give us some different things that we can open up in the playbook. It does open some pages to it. So as far as strategy goes, it's another skill set that we have available to us to use at any time we want to.
So with that said, translation, yes, he can run, but that's not why we're going to put him in there.
Right.
We're going to put him in there because he gives us a better chance at a particular play to be successful. And I agree with Jim Chaney. See, the deal with this is, and let's be obvious here, Mike, you put guys like Fields in, everybody goes, run!
Right.
He's going to run. You got to come in and be balanced. And all of a sudden, what if Fields comes in and throws the 50-yard bomb? Right?
Right.
You don't know what he's going to do. You can't have this element where in years past where teams have tried to play two quarterbacks. And again, I don't know how much he's going to play for the Dogs with Fromm being the starter. But you bring him in and everybody automatically knows what he's going to do. You can't be predictable like that. So I agree with Jim Chaney.
He is the perfect weapon. Not Jeff Speakman, Carl. We're talking about Justin Fields. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can use this guy, and that's what I think we all kind of knew going into it, that, you were not going to see him redshirted. He's going to be able to compete. And now we'll see. Now, what happens if he really blows away the coaching staff during this work right now? It all began, just the other day in Athens. What if he comes in here and is appreciably better in Chaney's mind than Fromm? And we all know how fickle Georgia fans are. They're ready to move on from Fromm to Fields, just like they moved on from Easton to Fromm.
I'm not saying they're wrong.
I mean,
he's one of us.
What did we hear at the spring game, right? Man, that Fields is good. You guys got a laser for an arm. Like, yes, he does.
Yeah. But you know what? Let's go back. It's been 3 years. It's hard to believe. When we went to the original 93K day.
Well, look at Easton, man. Look how quick that ball comes out on the throws to the flat.
Did you see him throw that 10-yard out? Woo!
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's a good problem to have. All the good teams, look at all the teams in the top five that have two really good quarterbacks, Bama, Clemson, Georgia. Yeah, obviously, that's a good team problem to have.
All right, man. Mel Tucker's the defensive coordinator, guys. Georgia lost a lot of guys to the NFL. Duh. Again, Tucker saying, listen, players don't change how we operate and move forward.
The standard of performance and our goals haven't changed. And so we're coaching our players and trying to develop them and teach them in a way that they can reach those standards. They can live up to those standards. We always want to play great defense here, regardless of who those players are. There's always going to be changes. We're always going to have new players step in. We're going to have great players leave, and so that's our job to get them ready. And that's why we recruited well, and we expect these guys to be able to step in and play great defense for us.
Mel Tucker, more at 4 o'clock as we go on the sidelines with the Dogs. We hear a lot from Kirby, but as he allowed the defensive and offensive coordinators to speak at the end of last week for the first time, we got a really good chance to hear what they had to say about a variety of things. 4 o'clock, we'll go on the sidelines. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell, guys, hitting some headlines. One last thing, Mike, and this is in regards to the Ohio State situation. Attorneys say Ohio State never contacted Courtney Smith about the domestic violence allegations. Now, what does that mean? If you remember, Zach Smith, the fired coach, said he had gone to the AD and talked to him. That Urban Meyer knew But yet the school, if in fact this is true, never contacted Courtney Smith about it, but yet they knew. What does that say? And for me, I'm just looking at this as more information trickles out.
Right.
You kind of go, okay, that's not a good look either, man. That if they knew and they never contacted her.
And a number of writers are also saying if Urban Meyer did in fact express there was an issue with this guy, where's the paper trail? You know, or is he simply like Joe Paterno where he dropped a line or mentioned it to a supervisor in the athletic department and that's all he wrote and washed his hands of it, which nowadays, as we said, is not going to fly. The rally yesterday, about 200 people outside of Ohio State Stadium, including later on Ezekiel Elliott's dad with about 20 minutes left in that thing. We were watching some of it live online. It was pretty funny. The guy leading the cheer is actually an Ohio State fan who's from South Carolina but is originally from Tennessee and didn't actually attend the university. But he was on point with a bunch of notes, Carl, of points that he thought it was important to express. Many of the fans not realizing that Brett McMurphy does not work for ESPN, but Ohio State fans took it upon themselves to communicate what they feel is an SEC bias by ESPN. What do you think of that?
Well, listen, you know, people are jaded. We see it every day, right? And you have people who have kooky opinions about things, and they express that, and that's fine. We live in a country where you can. But I don't know why the hell they had this rally. This was absolutely insane to see idiots out there rallying Mike and talking about what they were talking about. And, in fact, holding up the embarrassing signs they were holding up to make people believe or at least attempt to believe that this was a worthy cause.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be a lunatic fringe. And these, like, they're afraid of losing Urban Meyer as a head coach. Just, you know, like we've seen it before. Florida State fans, I talked about it on Twitter today. Follow him. He's put him up. See Dukes. You can follow the station at 92.9 The Game. And I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Like, I was defending Jameis Winston all through 2013. You know, that there was some kind of remorse from the woman the next morning, and we don't know the whole story. And you begin to find out through other incidents that Jameis really is an idiot. You know what I mean? So you try to convince yourself of some things because you think your program, you know, needs this guy or that guy. And eventually it's all going to come out. So, I mean, I don't fault them because there's always, you know, those kooks. But, boy, they look ridiculous yesterday.
They absolutely did. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk about the king and how he's making a difference and what he has coming out that may have you interested. Next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Remember, join 92.9 The Game this Friday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. as the Midday Show with Rick and John broadcast live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Guys, register online for a chance to win Big 3 basketball tickets for Friday night at Infinite Energy Arena. And I've been told I think we're going to have a special guest on Thursday to stop by and talk about the Big 3. Yay, yay! I'll just leave it at that if you pick that guest up. Hey, Mike, by the way, beer update.
Is he a basketball player?
No, he's not.
Is he in the music business?
I don't know. I don't know if he is anymore.
Is he even in movies?
He might have been in movies, yes. He might have played a couple of
Pass.
Roles.
I don't know.
No, man, beer update real quick, and then I want to ask you about this LeBron stuff. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got word today. Again, don't want to give you a definite date, but by the end of this month, that Hey Man L, Blondell, is going to be in cans. And at least the first shipment of those that we're talking about. So
to select retailers in Metro Atlanta.
We've talked about this to a variety of people. Guys hitting us up saying, hey, when can I get it? Where can I get it? Again, once that process takes place, we're going to be telling you guys where to go find it. But we are under the understanding that it's going to happen before the end of the month.
Yeah. I think August 28th, I thought it was right. Is that the date? Is that tentative?
I'm not giving any dates. Because if it's not, then people are like, man, guys said.
No, it's my birthday. That'd be kind of cool. It would be kind of neato to have those cans. And I'm going back down to the beach. We're going to have like my own beer in Fort Lauderdale on the beach in a cooler.
I don't know if it'll be distributed by then, but I think by Labor Day, you guys will be, hey, man. Labor Day weekend.
That's the day they fill them up. Well, that's not going to help me. But anyway, we'll get them out in the stores to you, and then you can enjoy the goodness that is a Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. And a lot of guys, it's fun, man. It's just great response we had up there in Buford when we were doing the show at Stars and Strikes, and guys coming in sampling the tasty brew. We went through a bunch of kegs. More guys are picking it up. Talked to Steve Shimada, owns Red Door. Going to get it over there in Red Door at some point, too, over in Buckhead.
Awesome, man. And again, if you don't, you know, if you're at your local pub or bar and you want it, make sure you ask for it. Hey, real quick, if you haven't heard this, LeBron James has got a 3-part documentary coming out.
Is this a Shut Up and Dribble?
It is. Okay. It is on Showtime. It was announced by Showtime this week. So it is called Shut Up and Dribble. You don't remember that whole or fiasco. Fox, I think the anchor there, when she said that. And so that's what it's called. But it goes basically behind you know, the scenes of the NBA and how the NBA over the years have had stars that have taken political stances, more importantly, community stances, things that are important to what's going on in society. And so, you know, as this is going down, he also has his barbershop thing that's coming out on HBO, right? And I don't know when, exactly when that starts, but it's coming as well. That was the whole thing, the big whoop-de-doo about Alabama, you know, taking his idea. And, you know, they did the barbershop thing. But either way, so LeBron is producing a bunch of stuff, and he's involved in a bunch of this stuff. But the shop is what it's called. It's debuting August 28th. Okay, August 28th on HBO. And that's about, you know, conversation and debate. He's got guests at a barbershop, and they're all just sitting around chopping it up. But when we talk about this, though, and it gets back to, you know, your tweet over the weekend. Right. We were talking about this.
Which I've since deleted, by the way.
Have you really?
Yeah, I'm so over it. I'm just... Because, and real quick, before we get to LeBron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I tweeted out saying, you know, I mean, there was a time when the president basically would not take the time to address a criticism from anyone, from a public citizen, from a newspaper editorial, from a television talking head. You know, you used to be above that. You know what I mean? But now, obviously, we live in a different world. And, you know, it's just you cannot express or convince anyone or even try to get someone to understand you in 140 or 280 characters on Twitter these days. So I'm just done with it. And, you know, because I threaten to quit Twitter like on a weekly basis. So I'm just going to stay away from it. There's just no way to explain. If you say something bad about Trump, you're a liberal. If you say something against LeBron, you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, I like to take everything, Carl, and you and I, that's why you and I have such a great relationship. We both grew up in completely different backgrounds, but we look at every issue on a case-by-case basis, not using some dogma, not using some rhetoric, not using something told by some political leader or religious leader. We think for ourselves on each individual issue, and that's how I feel, and I'm sick and tired of trying to convince people about things, so I'm not going to bother with it. It's just, there's nothing gained by talking politics in this country, period, let alone if you're a sports talk host.
Well, here's the deal, and this is interesting. So while you say that, and this gets me to this LeBron James thing, I don't know how many people will watch this Shut Up and Dribble thing. I don't know how successful it will be. But, Mike, I like the idea that he's woke.
Heck yeah.
That he's socially conscious to what's going on and how he's using his platform to affect it. And I'm going to say this. You know, over the weekend when that whole thing went down, I was waiting for an incredible statement by Michael Jordan. I was waiting for this wow moment statement from Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player to ever play, who has more influence to this day. Right. He hadn't stepped on the court in 12 years. To this day. Still has the most influence of any particular sports athlete in the country, or for that matter, the world. He's a global icon. And basically, you got a thumbs up, LeBron.
By a spokesman.
Correct.
For Jordan, by the way.
And all I'm saying is, to each his own, but I commend LeBron for using his platform when he is still the best player in the NBA. And that is the uniqueness. Usually things like this happen after a guy is done playing.
Right.
Usually it happens for a guy who's of a lesser star, right? Here is another guy that is the best player in the league putting this stuff out there and saying, hey, we should be talking about some of this stuff. We should be having dialogue. So I only bring it up because it has been announced by Showtime. He's got this thing on HBO. But who else has done this? When have you looked around the sports world and said, here is an agent of change? Now, we're not going back to the 60s with Bill Russell and Jim Brown.
Right.
Different time. I'm talking about now when guys are making $25, $30 million and they want to be isolated instead of stepping up and dealing with the real issues of what's going on. So for everybody that may hate LeBron on the court for changing teams and all of that crap, commend him for what he's doing with this and his platform.
Right. Putting his own money, too, out there. You know, he's created a nonprofit, and obviously the lion's share is coming from LeBron James. And here's the thing. Because Carl and I, we have these conversations all the time off the air, on the air. You know, it's like Tiger Woods. You know, remember the old Tiger Woods charity? What's it all about? Well, it's for the kids. Well, what? What is for the kids? Now, it's great that they're trying to introduce some kids to golf. We've not really seen that translate to more African-American or players of color on the PGA Tour, has it? So, with all due respect to Tiger and all that, guys, they don't want to rock the boat. And that's their prerogative. Because, look, Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all the guys who taught Muhammad Ali, it's lonely up on that cross. You know, and sports writers don't have your back, and players don't have your back. So I commend LeBron, especially in this day and age. And we'll see where it goes. But that's the thing about the controversy about the players. And what are you taking a knee for? Don't just take a knee. Tell me why you're taking a knee. and then use your platform to explain it. And look, you're never going to convince everybody, but maybe you'll get somebody to think about something.
That's the thing. Stay woke. 404-741-0929 is the number if you want to chime in or you want to hit us up on the text line. Yeah, man, I think about this, too. And I've had these conversations with some of the all-time greats because I always am curious. You know, people talk like, when you met such and such, did you talk about sports? And I'm like, no, I want to talk about what was going on. And, you know, when, for example, Mike, you talk about guys like Muhammad Ali, he was global prior to social media.
Right.
I mean, here is a guy, whether you were for or against him, and now, rest in peace, Muhammad Ali, the deal is he was willing to put it out there and without social media and Facebook and all those things, was impacting the world. How much more could these guys, not all, the guys who choose to, impact what's going on these days?
Right.
And that's why I say, good job, LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Continue to do what you do. That's why I love the fact that he opened this school. But also, doing things like this, he doesn't have to be the star, but to put his money behind it and say, listen, we're going to do some things that have people at least having real conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
Look, and as we said, I mean, a guy can do whatever he wants. It's his money. Now, get his hand in his pocket, he can do whatever he wants. Chris Paul, by the way, just donated $2.5 million to Wake Forest basketball. So trying to help out his alma mater, his school. You can do whatever you want to do. Some guys just want to hit golf balls and smoke cigars the rest of their lives. That's fine. That's your prerogative. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I mean, it takes us, especially today, man, it takes a certain kind of individual who can handle it because you get nothing.
Were you talking about Michael Jordan?
Maybe. And by the way, I don't really think Don Lemon's all great as what he does either. But I mean, for the press to drop that information, even though people, and I was getting stuff on Twitter, well, LeBron started it. So is that what we've come down to in 2018? Now we're all second graders? Well, he said it first. How about being above all that stupid stuff? I mean, because regardless of what you think about the president or not, he's taking a shot at a guy's intelligence who's coming out of pocket to help kids. End of story.
How can that be bad?
Right. You know?
I don't know.
And again, now here's where the tweets and the texts come in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'll never listen to you again, Mike. Yeah, because I've been a conservative my whole life, but I do like to, as we said to start this conversation, individual issues, case-by-case basis. If we all did that, imagine how much better this country would be.
If you don't listen to him, please listen to me at 92.9 The
No, but that's why. But honestly, brother, I mean,
I'm with you.
Because I've gone political
four times
in the last 2 years, and it's just not worth it.
I've told people this on social media, and guys are like, Dukes, you're not going to say anything. There are times I pick my spots, but I will say this, and you mentioned this. It's not about changing people's minds. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just stating how I feel. Right. And then I keep it moving. And if you want to say how you feel, that's fine.
Right.
But I just think that for sports being such a fabric of our country, and to have a platform like this, who's the best player in the NFL? Who's the best player in the NFL?
I mean, Brady or Rodgers right now. I mean, there's a couple of guys you could go.
Okay, so yeah. I'm just going to say that. Can you imagine being the best player in the NFL at the top of your game mm-hmm. and going, all right, these are some things I'm going to do. That's what LeBron is doing, and that's what makes this so unique and unusual because usually guys are past their prime.
Because like I said, man, you know, there's always going to be people out there that are like, stay in your lane. I want sports. I don't want reality because sports is the departure from your everyday world.
But it's interacting more and more with what is going on socially.
I'm with you, brother. I'm just saying. I mean, for LeBron, I say salute, hats off, brother. It's going to be a bumpy ride because despite your intentions being in the right place, you'll get no love from half this country.
All right, man. We'll get to an NFL blitz coming up. The latest around the league brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw. What is the deal on the Odell Beckham Jr. contract? And who's Kenyon Drake? And if you know him, how good is he?
That's a fantasy sleeper. Why are you putting my stuff out there?
It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.